Welcome back, Survivor fans. It is episode 9 of season 24 of your favorite show about people dodging jury duty. It is Tribal Council.
How long has that one been in the hopper?
I was thinking about what I wanted to say, and that's what I let out.
so less than 10 minutes?
Yeah. I had a number of friends status updating about jury duty. It was just on my brain. So.
Oh, okay. All right, fair enough. That felt like one that like dawned on you at the end of last week's recording or something like that. It's like I've been sitting on this one for a week.
No, it's fresh. That's hot off the presses.
All right.
I am Ralph. This is Chris on the other end. Say hi.
I already have by questioning your comedic chops.
Why will you not respect the structure that I'm trying to build here?
Come on. That's we are all about deconstructing structure. I mean. It's sort of like, is that like the opposite of meta? Like, meta is to step back from the structure and look at the structure of structure. We are going the opposite direction. We are chaos. I mean, we never follow the linearity of the episode. We are chaos in a pod.
If only because the discussion takes us there, and I think that's what people appreciate about our show. A lot to talk about this week. I think there was some gameplay happening afoot. To quote our favorite Survivor.
Some gameplay happening with Flit.
Favorite Survivor?
You might have created a neologism there.
Thank you. So we come back to camp, and we see Tarzan and Troyzan having a little powwow, I guess is the word I'm looking for.
Sure.
Meeting of the minds, and it was surprising given the direction that the various allegiances take, that what seemed like a very obvious agreement between two guys who would have common interests ended up not coming through.
Sure. Yeah, that was sort of odd. I mean, the men just, as will be the theme for the next 35 to 40 minutes, the men continue to just baffle me.
This is a very strange turn of events, given how the season started with complete disorganization from the women's side.
Yes, it was disorganization on the women's side, and it was just, you know, stupid decisions on the men's side when they decided after winning tribal immunity they were going to just hand it over to the women.
Yes, that was that's really coming back to hurt them, isn't it?
Yeah, that was the number right there. I mean, they had the numbers, right?
It was a swing of two in terms of the advantage. Mm-hmm. So, pretty amazing how this all has worked out. All right, we cut to Tree Mail, and the whole gang's there, and it's a do-it-yourselfer.
I feel like we called this. I feel like we saw this on the horizon. Didn't we talk about this last week?
We talked about the very much lack of DIY challenging.
Right, considering how much they'd hyped it in the build-up to, in their little interviews with EW and other places.
You know, when you do a game show 24 times, you have to try to spice things up, and they were trying to just play this up, but it really was, it's such a drop in the bucket long term. And really, you miss Jeff.
You do. Nothing called more attention to it than Troy
trying to play
attempting
Jeff.
To be Jeff and falling flat on his face. I mean, he doesn't have a sense of the drama. Like, before, I forget who it was, who got the one for the losing team on the second to last toss? It wasn't Sabrina. Sabrina had the last toss. Was it Alicia? No, Alicia was on the winning team. Just kidding.
Yeah.
I don't remember.
It's irrelevant.
But with the team that was ahead having gone first on the second to last turn and scoring a sixth point, it immediately became a you must score situation, and nobody, like, there was no, that was a perfect opportunity. That's where Jeff's going to build the drama. You have to score here, otherwise it's over. And he didn't build the drama. I mean, Troy had so many opportunities. I mean, come on in, guys, where was that? You know, when his team won, where was the I got nothing for you?
So in the fictional season in which you play, when the DIY challenge arrives, you will pull a blue shirt out of, like, a hidden cargo pocket and put it on. And go into Jeff mode.
Oh yeah, come on in, guys. And I'll mention something about a schoolyard pick'em. there will be. I'll ask them if they want to know what they're playing for. What else? And then, of course, whoever loses, I got nothing for you.
I got nothing for you.
I got nothing for you.
No. So the challenge was throw a bolus. That was today's vocabulary word, bolus.
I was going to say, I thought they gave it some technical term. I missed it, but it sounded like it was less than a common word.
Maybe I'm wrong here, but I think a bolus is also the piece of food that you swallow. Just thinking about my health classes, the bolus
what do you mean,
of
the
food.
The piece of food that you swallow.
Yeah, like when you like chew up food and you like form it into a little ball that you're going to swallow, that ball is called a bolus.
I see. So like semi-digested food is...
Masticated and lubricated for swallowing purposes.
Masticated and lubricated, that's how I like it.
This is a service for our listeners. I'm giving you word power.
All right.
All right, the winning team of Troy, Tarzan, Jay, Alicia, and Kat. Kat had two-pointer, and who else had the four-pointer?
It wasn't Troy.
It was not Troy.
Who went first? Jay, I think, went first, right?
It's Tarzan.
Maybe, I don't know.
It had to be, because Alicia didn't score, Troy didn't score. Jay went first.
We're not very good at this. We're much better at dissecting what's happening as opposed to recording what's happening.
Well, I'm happy for Tarzan because it was his first reward. And
sure.
It did look like a very nice Survivor-style barbecue of architecturally beautiful crabs and bounteous fish.
Architecturally beautiful crabs, yes. If I were them, I'd be a little disappointed. I'd be like... You're trying to sell me a barbecue here as my reward, and it's all seafood. Like
that would be a Samoan and a Survivor style barbecue.
I mean, if you want to give me a reward, give me something that I'm not already getting at home.
That had to have been a little bit of a downer.
I mean, I guess what I'm not already getting is the mass quantities that they had there.
Yeah.
At that barbecue, but it's still the same stuff. Like, don't just give me more of the stuff I'm already getting. Give me some diversity here.
Well, that would come later on. Thank you for teasing. See that segue? See that?
Indeed.
So we cut back, and apparently the winning tribe's already back because Alicia was talking up Kim.
Yeah, it was a very unceremonious return, I noticed.
Right. Alicia and Kim are already talking it up, and Kim just lays it out. She's like, look, no more games, no more trying to make them feel okay. You know, we just need to lock this down. And I think from a strategic point of view, definitely the right idea.
It's funny, I agree and I disagree. I would say 9 times out of 10, I agree. This is the one time where I, at the very least, can see merits on both sides. I think more often than not, you know, you're at this point, the cat is out of the bag. You need to now just follow through with your decimation of the men and not try to pretend that everything's hunky-dory. This is the one case, though, where I think you could pretend everything was hunky-dory because Jay and Troy, like, are the least paranoid guys I've ever seen on Survivor. You know, like, they just refuse to let their antenna go up and have their radar start beeping at them, you know? I mean, Troy, it finally goes off towards the very end of the episode, but, you know, they might have been able to string them out a little bit, you know, without... I don't know. I mean, I ultimately think this is the right move, but I think there are merits to both sides in this situation.
Let me build the case for Kim here, right? Mm-hmm. When you're thinking about Endgame, you're thinking... Who do I have to beat in challenges to secure my immunity? You know, who's going to help me get the votes I need to get to the end? And who's the dead weight that I can just carry along? Right? If you keep the girls, you have dead weight in Alicia and Kat. I just don't see them outplaying you. And Christina. You know? You have that dead weight built in.
Yeah, Christina's just the girl nobody ever bothered to vote off.
You no longer need Tarzan and Leaf. You don't. So, at that point, you don't need any of the guys. And you certainly don't need Jay and Troy Zan mucking up your immunity challenges. So, you know, that's the case for doing this. And at the same time, you don't want to look wishy-washy. You don't want to look at the end like you tried to play both ways and, you know, you didn't do well at either. You just, like, you show a master plan so that at the end you'd be like, look.
That's true.
Here's what it was. you know, here's what the puzzle looks like. Let me lay it out for you, because clearly you don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly something to be said at the final tribal council for, you know, for at least sticking to your guns, you know, and being able to say, this is how I came to play, and I did it that way. And if you don't like it, well, then that, you know, then there's not a lot I can do about that. But at the very least, you can't say that I tried to have both sides of everything.
Right. I didn't try to have my cake and eat it too.
It's funny. Chelsea seems to be stuck in there in that exact mode, is wanting to have the cake and eat it too, and feeling guilty about, you know, giving her word to Troy and Jay, and now, you know, going back on it. And to be honest, I actually think that might be the thing that wins her the game. Unfortunately, you know, the fact that she does have that conflict might end up at the end, you know, seeing more sympathetic and seeming more human. And thus,
if she gets to the end, she's a huge, huge jury pull. You know, like, she obviously didn't clash with anyone. She didn't seem like she manipulated anyone. And
right.
That, unfortunately, will be seen as threatening for her to try to make her way to that end. So, Kim is as smart as she seems, and Sabrina and Kat were even talking about it, they're like, you know, she can't have it this way, and that's not good. So,
well, it seems like every woman, with the exception of Christina, believes they're in the final three, and nobody seems to actually be taking the time to break down who thinks what their final three is, and whether or not the other people think that's the final three. Like, they just all seem to believe their final three.
Yeah, here's my thing. You can't seem too paranoid. You can't go around asking everyone, like, are we solid, this and that. Once you start doing that, like, the whole play of, well, you don't trust me comes into the mix, and that becomes reason enough to say.
Oh, I don't mean that. I just mean
flaky.
The way they talk about it so in such a cavalier fashion. When they all are very aware of the fact that there's five girls they're talking about, but they keep saying final three, and then
I don't think we've been hit with it as hard in this season as we have in other seasons.
Well, the thing that I noticed in this episode is they kept, like, in multiple discussions, they, like, I think I heard every one of them bring up the phrase final three, and then in their minds you could sort of see, just as they said it, like, you know, a little alarm going off in their head, hey, wait a minute, I shouldn't say final three because there's not actually three of us. And they would hedge it by saying, or four, not realizing, actually, there's five of you. You know, I don't know, I just thought it was kind of funny that nobody seems to believe that they're the odd person out.
For me, it seems to be it's Sabrina, Kim, and Chelsea. Like, I mean, obviously, I don't think any of those three would choose both of those two to have with them at the final.
I would agree with that.
Certainly,
but
I think they agree
through,
that
they wouldn't.
It'd be nice, they would like to have as many of those people at the end as they can.
Right. Again, those are the people they have the best intentions of being loyal to.
Right. That and those that they have to put their faith in, because who else can they trust? You know, right. it's like you gotta trust someone, so those are the three that trust each other, you know?
I want to give some dap to Alicia, because, you know, I've spent the first 7 to 8 episodes of the season cutting her up and saying what a mental she is, and today we actually heard something intelligent out of her, and that was, you know, in reference to Kim getting wishy-washy about this stuff. You know, she said you got to put your heart out of it and put your brain in it, and that's exactly right. You know, you the second you let your heart start guiding your decision making in this game, you know, is usually the turning point in the game for you when you start heading down a losing path. And Kat too. I forget who what it was she said. I wish I could.
Sabrina talked about how having to make big girl decisions and putting on your big girl panties.
Yeah, to which my comment to Stacy immediately was: step one is not calling them panties. Step one to the big girl is calling them something else.
It's an analogy.
Fair enough.
So Jay talks to Kat and says, well, you know, you gotta give a little bit, you know, look at us, like, we want Alicia, this and that. And Kat, for some reason, drags Jay in front of the girls.
Oh yeah, that was the thing I wanted to give Kat credit for, is she sat there in that private conversation with Jay, doing the exact thing that should always set off alarms for you if you're the one talking to this person, where they just sit there and go, and then when you ask them for an answer, they give you a very non-answer. And she did a great job of, she did a very good job with her non-answer, but that's the thing you gotta be paying attention for, you know, is when they actually do give you an answer, was it really an answer? And she's, you know, he said, are you with me? And she said, well, I'm not gonna say no, right? Or something like that.
Right, I can't, yeah, what am I gonna say,
I
no?
What am I gonna say, no, exactly. Which I give her credit, I mean, for as empty-headed as Kat has been all season, you know, that was a fairly savvy response on her part, because it seemed to sell Jay. Jay seemed,
you know,
to take it.
Saw the moment in front of Jay where they were all there. You know, Kat was there, Kim, Sabrina, Chelsea. And he asked, he's like, so it's Alicia next, right? And the response could not have been worse.
Oh, yeah, it was so
And yet Jay
flat.
Believes, he's trying to tell Troy, look, we're good. Like,
yeah,
and I'm
is,
like, what did you
the part,
see that I didn't see?
You know, this is the part of Jay that was the that was weak for him strategy-wise. You know, he was very good, we found out early on, he was very good at, you know, being hip to the direction the wind is blowing and you know, being aware of the idea that as long as it's not me, that's good news.
Yeah, and he dodged being lumped in with Mike and Matt and all those guys.
Right, right. Matt, was that the blonde guy?
Yeah.
Okay. I've long since forgotten about him.
That's fine.
But on the flip side, you know, the thing I wrote down about Jay this week is just, I mean, he's so bad. He's so bad at this aspect of it. You cannot just, you can't sense that the ship is going down and then just go to everybody who you thought was on the ship with you and say, you know, hold the ship up, hold the ship. You know, you can't just tell everybody, we got to stick to the Alliance, beg them and plead them to stick with the Alliance. You know, you at some point you have to sense that this Alliance is not what you thought it was and accept that and now devise a new plan. And it seemed like perhaps the paranoia was there, perhaps the Spidey sense was going off, and he just didn't want to listen to it, you know. He just didn't want to have to deal with coming up with a new plan.
Perhaps Troy's paranoia he didn't think was warranted, so as a countermeasure, he felt like he had to go the other way and be like, look, I have to believe in this, otherwise what have I got? But
I guess.
You know, I think I completely agree with you. Like, you cannot, once the ship has begun going down, you're not going to try to salvage that. You just adapt.
Yeah.
You know, you strap you together another raft.
Right.
And
you find
get
a new
it,
ship,
you know?
And make sure you're not the last person off the boat.
Well, this is good, given this is an analogy about being marooned on an island.
Right, yeah, exactly. Which, by the way, with that reward, you'll go to a secluded island. What, are they not on a secluded island already? I mean...
So it should have been worded, you'll go to a different secluded island.
Well, it's just like, what makes that reward? I mean, it's like...
Don't forget, there'll be 5 cameras there. In seclusion.
This is like NBA players getting their playoff bonus of like 10 grand for making the playoffs. Like, these guys are swimming in money already. 10 grand isn't going to make them want to go to the playoffs anymore, you know? Like,
so the reward one sometimes should be all of the white rice and coconuts you can eat.
Right, and that was the other thing. That's true. I guess that really made it just like, so we gave them a bunch of fish, which is already the only protein they're going to get when they're in the game, and we're going to send you
a
to a secluded
cocktail.
Island. That's right, and we give coconut you coconut cocktails. Really, the only thing you got on this trip, on this reward, that you didn't already have was rum. That was it.
While you're
rum.
There, you're going to vote someone off. So, congratulations.
Right. Exactly. Oh, and you also have to make the fire for the barbecue.
Congratulations. Survivor-style rewards.
Right. It's a do-it-yourself reward.
So
the do-it-yourself challenge.
Let's cut to the immunity challenge. Like Jeff says, this is a classic. You know, who wants more? Keep your arm up for as long as you can. Let the blood drain out of it, and then he will tempt you away with food.
There. I saw that picnic bench when they did the traditional Mark Burnett start, you know, up at Google Earth and then zoom in on the challenge. And I immediately was like, whoever it was, Somebody called it. Somebody asked.
Jay.
Did Jay ask Kim if she was going to take food?
Troy. He asked Troy. He's like,
oh, he asked Troy.
Are you gonna get out if there's food? And he said right. No. And I don't think they would have shown that clip if there wasn't going to be food. So
that's true.
That was the logic that turned in my head. I was like, okay, why would they show that if there wasn't going to be food? So
that's true.
Ergo, yeah. There will be food.
For all we know, that happens like
every time.
Every 3 days as the immunity challenge approaches. But they just never air it because it's
correct.
Not actually happening.
Correct.
Got to think from the producer's standpoint.
It didn't seem like a particularly special question at the time. Jay just was like, all right, are you going to skip on for food this time?
It's right.
Like, just seemed like something they go over. Which is, I like to see that. I like to see that there's like this checklist that Jay's going through. Like, what are you going to do? Like, there's like a sit rep between the two of them. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it failed completely.
Yeah, and I'm just amazed at how quickly everybody sells out in these challenges. I mean, I guess maybe we just underestimate how hungry these people are.
And how difficult it is. I mean, if you know you're going out, why not get something for it?
Well, that's true. That I understand. But I feel like better than 50% of the people who went out 100% voluntarily. Not like I'm losing it. Just, you know,
Not 100%. Like, again, if you know that your arm is just about done, like you have at most 2 to 5 minutes left, you know? Or 1 to 2 minutes left.
Weren't most of those pretty early, though? I mean, obviously we don't know what the continuity was, but I want to say, you know, 5 or 6 of them were out inside the first 5 minutes.
I don't think we ever see more than, you know, 3 or 4 go past the half-hour mark, you know? So, like, honestly.
Well, yeah, but it's not like these people who bought out for food went 15, 20 minutes and were
Chris,
like,
who should not have bought out?
Who shouldn't have bought out?
Obviously
Jay.
Obviously Jay.
Yeah,
clearly.
Yes.
Beyond that.
And that was, and what was even dumber about it was that he bought out with, what, he was three people left?
Yeah.
It was him, Leaf, and Chelsea, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's just bad. You know, Troy should have bought out.
Because he had the hidden?
Because he had the hidden, it seemed like he knew he was giving, like, just hold on long enough for Jeff to bring out another platter. I'd love to see Jeff get the red herring thing going on, too, though. You know, like the old school auction where they do the hidden thing that you auction off and then, you know.
I've not lost faith that there will still be an auction.
I really hope they'll bring back the auction. I love the auction.
I think the sweet spot is like 7.
Yeah, it's 6, 7, 8, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
So I would say not next week, but 2 or 3 in the next 2 or 3 episodes, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would have been nice if they would have had, like, you know, unhatched goose egg or something like that as one of the things underneath the... underneath the...
And have someone, like, crack it open, like, slurping on yolk.
Yeah, exactly.
Ugh. Can we talk about Leaf?
Oh, yeah. Oh, the thing that I wrote down for Leaf is he's playing like he lives in kindergarten. Like, this guy, Colton has scarred Leaf so badly at the beginning of the season that he now just plays to avoid ire and to gain simply
he's
just...
He's playing just, like Eric the Red.
...likableness from people.
It's like Eric the Red from Fans vs. Favorites. You know, he's like, it's like, how can I get favor back from anyone? When in reality, that's doing nothing for you. Chelsea played him so bad. It's like,
oh,
you know, if
God,
you go out, you'll be seen as less of a threat.
And which is silly, because she didn't have anything to worry about. I don't know why she wanted the immunity.
Comical.
That's just, I mean, he looked at her with the biggest puppy dog eyes, like, really? Really?
I know.
Really?
Is that true?
Like, oh my gosh. Like, really? Pet me? Pet
and
me?
And it ends with,
pet
Chelsea,
me? Rub me in the spot I like.
I'm doing this for you.
Yeah.
It was like the kid in high school's got the crush, and
my gosh! And he's just getting played.
He's like, yes,
by the captain,
I will lay my
squad.
Prom tuxedo jacket on this puddle for you.
Right.
I will do this for you.
Yeah, that was just silliness. And then he gives her the burger too. Of course, it's funny. At first, I thought those weren't full size burgers. I thought they were more like sliders. But then Stacy's like, "No, those are pretty full size." And I guess if you're Leaf, maybe I don't know. Maybe you can't put away that much burger?
As a guy who's been in a few friend zones, let me tell you, that guy gets in some friend zones. this Leaf guy.
Oh, yeah. It's just amazing. I mean, on the flip side, it's funny because it's like, you know, he seems to be the most of the three string outs, Tarzan, Leaf, and Christina, who are just there floating along because nobody's bothered to get rid of them yet.
Yeah.
He seems to be the one doing the most active, like, work to make sure he sticks around, you know, by virtue of people liking him more. What? Which, you know what I mean? Like, he wants it more.
I don't know
it's
about
clear.
That.
I mean, he's not active in terms of, like, you know, trying to, like, make people meals or something like that, which clearly doesn't work because they voted Jonas out. But, like, he's the most worried about being liked because he believes that that's what determines whether or not he's still there anymore. Because Colton just scared the wits out of him on day four.
Let's remember that before that, there was not much coming from him. Let's remember that. It's not he had some great thing going on that got ruined by Colton.
No, but I mean... But certainly that he scared him into this MO of how much people like me is directly related to the likelihood that I stay in this game. And so that drives the decisions that he makes. Not that he makes many of them.
Right.
But that drives those decisions. Whereas Tarzan and Christina seem to just sort of be floating, you know, and not even caring about it, and just sort of, you know, with the Sandra approach from Heroes versus Villains. As long as it's not me, that's good enough.
No, that worked for her, so...
And it did. It did work for her twice. But it's funny because this group of people has shown that actually getting, you know, being likable is the first thing that will get you out, you know, in how they voted Jonas out. Jonas was arguably the most liked in that tribe, simply by virtue of the fact that he made meals for everybody, and that got him voted out. Because he was deemed a threat to win.
I thought it was more about, like, tribal. Just his ability to talk to people and connect with them. That was seen as he needed to get out of there. It would remove a leader from that group of men, and he was capable of leading that group.
That's true.
But he would have done it.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, okay. Think how different this game would be if Colton were still around.
I know. He will see that beach again. Like, literally, that beach, sure. Like, they will just come back to Samoa, and he'll see the same beach again.
Survivor 39, Samoa 18.
I wanted to talk to you about the label of dangerous and challenges. It seems to be an issue this year, and more so than before.
It's just a big falsehood, because anybody, I mean, Courtney, I believe Yates was her last name, like the skinniest woman ever to play Survivor. And the blondest woman ever to play Survivor.
Yes, I know who you're talking about. She was on Heroes and Villains.
She was on Heroes Villains, and I don't know if it was Heroes Villains or if it was it was her original season, but she won, like, one or two challenges. She was not the sharpest tool in the shed, and certainly was more towards the duller end of the spectrum, at least puzzle-wise. I shouldn't say that. I mean, she was... I don't think she was unintelligent. She never showed her chops as a puzzle person, so...
What are you getting at?
So that sort of strength in challenges was out. And she clearly is not like a brute force, you know, person who's
what
just
going to
dominate you. And
what are you
she won two or three challenges. And she's proven that there's no such thing as, like, you know, a type of that needs to be feared more than any other. You know? I mean... You know, if you get somebody out there that's Terry Dietz with a PhD, then, yeah, maybe you worry about them. But, like, we don't have any of those, so...
Yes, and I that's why I am baffled at, like, Kim even said, like, you know, I'm kind of glad I didn't win, you know, I didn't want to be seen as being dangerous and challenged. I'm like, what are you talking about, you know? Why not just win? Why not remove the variability of having someone with that idol that you may need to vote out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a degree to which she's speaking from a position of comfort because she has that hidden immunity idol that she can also use. You know, if she didn't have that, she might talk about that a little differently. But the other thing is that statement is not a statement of her own perspective. It's a statement of the perceived perspective of the tribe. You know, that the tribe seems to be very wary of people who could do well in challenges. Thus, she wants to be shy away from it. Not that she necessarily believes that that's something worth looking at, but she seems
but
to think that other
the
people
air,
are...
It's in the air.
Right, exactly. Like, just because you don't think... Just because you... Whether or not you think it is ultimately irrelevant. What is relevant is what...
Perception is reality.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Her next move is to intelligently forecast that Troy could have an idol, that there are two idols in play, that she has one, but there's one out there.
Yep.
And she moves to Split, and we find out that she's got Tarzan in her pocket.
And Leaf.
And Christina.
And Christina. Yeah, she's got all three of them in there. What I think is really interesting is the way she sets up the plan to Split is very tenuous. I mean, she puts all of the people that she truly trusts voting for Troy.
Troy, yeah.
It's her, Sabrina, Chelsea, Kat, and Leaf voting for Troy. That list minus Leaf being the group of people that she most trusts. And she puts Christina, Tarzan, and Alicia voting for Jay. And I think the only person she really would put any trust in there is Alicia.
Was Leaf on that list? Are you sure that Leaf was on the list?
Yes. I went back and actually...
Because he ended up voting Alicia.
Yes, he did, which I thought was interesting.
That's why I don't know that he ever had Leaf on that list.
No, I went back and re-listened to it, and she did list Leaf. But my hunch is that she wasn't counting on him, which is why she ended up splitting at 5-3 rather than 4-4.
How did we never see Kim reel in Tarzan? Because it's fascinating to me.
That Tarzan is with them?
Yeah.
After
the conversation he had with Troy at the beginning of the episode, like, was that all a show? Like, was he never actually worried about this men's thing? He just wants to be strung along by Kim?
I don't know. I mean, I think Tarzan is very much playing his own game. You know, he... And in as much as we want to just sort of dismiss him and think that he's just this old kook, like, I think there's a little more to his game than we want to give him credit for. I'm not saying there's much more to it.
Whatever's there is not working.
Well, right. And certainly, I think he believes there's much more to his game than we're going to give him credit for. But I think there is at least a mild method to his madness. He just keeps a lot of it to himself. On the other hand, I don't know why he wouldn't share it in the confessionals. Obviously, he's always very coy with Jeff and in front of, you know, anybody who is still in the game.
I feel like he sits on his zingers like. Like, you perceived that I was sitting on that jury duty line. You know, he's just like, oh, man, I can't wait till Jeff talks to me.
Right, yeah. Counsel. I'm just going to foil it all for him. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how he gets sold so easily. I mean, by the girls, that is. Because, you know, Troy then tries to bring him over to vote Kim. Troy got nobody to go with him to vote Kim, which I was a little bit surprised about. I thought he might actually swing Christina. Tarzan, I was pretty sure whatever Tarzan thought he was planning to do, he was going to do whatever that was, you know.
Yeah.
Last minute switches just don't seem like the sort of thing that are going to sit well with Tarzan.
I agree.
But yeah. So the interesting thing is that they ended up. What did they do? They ended up moving. All their votes to...
Jay.
Or not all their votes. Kim and Sabrina switch over to Jay. They didn't tell Chelsea and Kat. And Leaf left the voting for Troy to vote for Alicia. Which is sort of interesting, because then if Troy had... If Troy had just voted Alicia instead of Kim, that actually sets up a tie. Although it wouldn't have mattered much, because everybody then comes back and just votes Jay instead of... You know,
yeah.
Over Alicia,
yeah.
But you know, I just feel like they just did not engineer this thing. Their alarms did not go off soon enough in their
head. The path was to get Leaf to realize that he needed to eliminate a girl, and to get Christina on board somehow. to vote Alicia. You know, because there's a rivalry there. We've not seen a makeup. You know, like, I don't see any reason why Christina should hate Alicia any less.
But, well, you know, and Christina is clearly just
kind of
floating
blew up
along.
At each other. Yeah.
You know, she...
If he can turn Leaf and Christina into two Alicia votes, then he gets Alicia off.
Yeah.
Provided he also votes for Alicia.
Well, and you might need Tarzan as well.
No, you wouldn't. Because he had... he had votes from what? Leaf and Jay? He had Leaf and Jay. Troy would be 3. Leaf would be 4. And Christina would be 5.
No, you already counted Leaf.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Anyway.
Darn it.
The point is they scrambled too late. Jay went and exposed the whole thing to Kim, which, you know, foiled it even worse. You know...
Yeah, we need to talk about that. We can't just drop that in here, because my God, like, again, another guy authoring his own exit from the game.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was going to go anyway. It's not like he swung things in. He took something that was going to be okay for him and then turned it into his exit. It was going to be
so
his exit.
So the split
exit
was
going to
be him and Troy. Him and yeah, he
the,
was the other
the only,
side. Of
the only way he wasn't the only way. He wasn't going home as if somehow Tarzan is if he left well enough alone with the girls and somehow Tarzan didn't play his idol. Then Tarzan goes home instead of Jay.
Troyzan.
Troyzan, sorry. But yeah, this is just further, you know, this is more of the same from Jay. We talked about this before. You're like, when you realize you're going down, the ship is going down, you can't just beg everybody to stay on the ship. Like, you gotta go find a new ship and figure out how that one's gonna work for you.
Right. You gotta make that one work instead of trying to save the one that's already sailed or sunk.
You can't
whatever,
just keep talking
whatever
about
the
how you don't
is.
want to get screwed over by the girls to the girls. Like it only makes them just more happy that you're going home next. You know.
Did Troy? I mean, if Troy just quietly plays his idol instead. Jay just goes home. Right?
Okay, what do you mean?
Well, I'm just trying to say, like, what are the other outcomes that Troy could have engineered in terms of, like could he have done it in a way that he actually could have turned it around? Or because,
yeah, they needed
because
to
Kim
start,
had so
they
many
to
numbers,
start on
just,
it, no. You know, before 11:55. That was the problem, is they started on it.
But Kim had so many, you know? Like... Who wasn't under Kim's pull except for Jay and Troy?
Leaf, Christina, that's 4 right
there.
But I'm
saying, but Kim had Leaf on her list. And Christina was in the Girls Alliance, you know?
Well,
so...
but Leaf wasn't there. I mean, obviously Leaf isn't with them because he voted Alicia. So all you needed to do was, A, swing Christina... B, once you swing Christina, you now can get the information from Christina that there is a split vote, in which case you realize you don't actually need to get 5 people. You only need 4.
More than they're splitting.
As long as Christina... As long as Christina doesn't foil your plan back to them. And if she foils your plan back to them, you never had 4 in the first place, so it doesn't matter.
Correct. Good.
So, you know...
You're nothing if not thorough, Chris.
Indeed. I mean, that would have been impressive there. If he could have swung Christina, then, you know, then it's 4 for Troy, 4 for whoever they choose to vote out, probably Alicia, and Troy plays his idol and Alicia goes home. You know, the problem now then is they're still sitting on 4 versus 5.
Okay, unless you can hold Christina and say, look, they have no plans on including you.
No. You still only have 4. You have yourself, you have Troy, Jay, Leaf, Christina. Those are the 4. The other 5, and they still have
because
5.
Because you only used 4 votes to send Alicia home, you're still down 4-5. You're not counting Tarzan in that group.
I'm not counting
Which,
Tarzan.
Which, again, I don't get. I don't know how you arrived there.
Well it's because Tarzan clearly is... Tarzan is like the guy from season 1 who, you know, refused to accept the concept of a voting block, you know. And alliances, and instead decided he wanted to vote people out based on the alphabet.
The alphabet.
You know, like,
the
it was just like,
vote.
I've chosen a strategy, and regardless of whether or not I actually create any alliances along the way, I'm going to stick to this strategy. And, you know, that seems to be Tarzan's MO.
That's unfortunate. It's truly unfortunate.
Maybe not. Maybe this is the thing that gets him to the end and, you know, he's pissed off nobody because, you know, because he never really made any promises.
Yeah, I was thinking about the older people who have won the game, and I know Bob belongs in that group.
Yep.
Does
Bob,
Tina,
the physics professor?
Yes. Does Tina belong in the older winner group?
Oh, of course.
Okay. So the thing that Tina and Bob have in common is that they were just... They were grandparenty. Like that's mm-hmm. that was their role. It's like they didn't upset anyone. They went along. They were very, very abiding. You know, like, and Tarzan is not those things.
No, Tarzan is more. Tarzan is more like he's bitter. He's bitter grandparent. Not like, yay, we're going to my grandparents.
Right.
Yeah, he's more like bitter uncle. You know, he's like bitter great uncle or something.
Yeah, no, I get what you're going. I get what you're going. All right. Anything from Tribal? We have Jay, Troy, and Kim raising their hands, saying they feel like they're in trouble. And then a long discussion about shorts.
Yeah.
Which I found amusing.
I mean, it was kind of interesting, because it seemed like Jeff... it's sort of funny, because it's like... Alicia comes off sounding smart, but really what happened there was Jeff, like, walked her down the path to say Troy has an idol or something, which was a little weird. Like, does Jeff know that Troy had an idol? And he, like, walked her down that path because he figured he was playing it that night anyway? I mean, it was sort of weird, like, because it didn't seem like she was actually going to come up with this material on her own. It was, you know, it felt very much like, you know, a high school, I'm going to liken it to a math class because that's what I teach, but like a math class where you've got, you know, students who are just barely above average, and so, you know, the best way to get them to understand the material on their own is if they actually discover it themselves. And so you don't actually point to everything and say this is how it works. You sort of just like, you know, lightly nudge them, you know, so that they stay on the path of enlightenment there. And I felt like that's what happened, you know. Like, Jeff just sort of, like, ask just the slightest leading questions that will let Alicia, you know, take Alicia down this path to suddenly realize that Troy has an idol.
You know, Tarzan does have a lot of pockets.
Right.
Not
Tarzan, but yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Why wouldn't you just act, I guess you'd have to kind of play the long con and just act suspicious each week. And then just let that be your, like, default MO.
Oh, yeah? You mean just spend every time you go to your bag, be suspicious about your bag?
Right, and, like, go out into the woods and, like, dig up something.
Right. Whether always be burying things.
Always burying things.
Turn the beach into, like, hole. You know, what was that movie? Holes with Shia LaBeouf from a while back.
You have to play the long game, you know? It's something like, you know, 12 right. or so tribals that you'll actually attend. And
make sure that every other contestant at one point or another sees you come down from a tree and, like, start jumping for joy.
Just brag about it.
I do like the idea of the long con and just selling everybody on these different. You know, it fits with the Russell MO. You know, like put together a story that you. I mean, he never really stuck to it. You know, his whole little firefighter thing, Katrina and everything.
Katrina and all that.
It would have been interesting to see that play out if he actually had tried to weave that web a little deeper.
But his evil could only be pent in so long.
Indeed.
All right. Anything else?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, it's been a lovely discussion of strategy this week, which is nice just because sometimes we spend 40 minutes complaining instead of actually talking.
Yeah.
So it's been a nice change of pace this week. All right, Chris, what's our online presence?
Online presence. On Twitter, you can find us at the Twitter handle @TribalPodcast. You can email us. The email address is podcast@tc.vanb.net. And our RSS feed is found online at tc.vanb.net.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris, and thank you, listeners, for tuning in for another episode this week. We're on time, and we look forward to hearing from you again next week.